Today, it's Edwin's Monday Evening Property Rant. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. The first Monday of the new year, despite it being a public holiday, Edwin is with me. Hi Edwin, how are you doing?
Well, as they say, Martin, there's no rest for the wicked. And Dusty and Evan got me up early in the morning telling me it was a working day. I didn't even know it was a public holiday. They got me out there digging the hole for the bloody tadpole pool or a pond or, you know, I keep on telling them that I'm going to put sardines in there, not koi, so they can help me dig. But, they're not taking the bait, Martin.
No, that's right. Well, I'm pretty pleased to see you online tonight. And as always, plenty to talk about. And the really interesting question is, what sort of year is this one going to be?
Oh, look, Martin, it's going to be a year of, the good, the bad, and it could even get a little bit uglier than 2021. We just got to prepare. It's already gotten ugly for me, Martin. I don't know whether you can see this. This is this is what's happening so far. I shredded my hand building that bloody koi pond for Dusty and Evan so far. So it's getting pretty ugly for me at the moment, Martin.
Oh, that looks painful just from here.
It is. Having to deal with the cement and the lime and everything to setting up the walls. A lot of it has to be done by hand. Obviously, they've got rock features and that in there. So it hasn't been fun so far, but it's starting to take shape. Then they got a visitor. As I posted on Twitter, they got a black swan. How many of those are we going to have this year, Martin? You're the economist. You tell me.
Well, I did actually put a tweet back saying, I wonder what the collective noun for a collection of black swans should be. A couple of interesting suggestions came through, but maybe we should offer our audience another chance to make some interesting suggestions. You know, what is the right collective noun for a whole bunch of black swans? Because there could be a whole lot this year.
Look, there could be. So we just got to get ready. All I know is that we just got to get ready for what is around the corner. And as I also tweeted out, Martin, we're going to have packaging that's going to be getting smaller. Goods will become more expensive. People are going to drink a lot more, that's for sure. Government mandates cripple the SME sector of the economy, and which is going to be unfortunate. I mean, there's been reports of that already in the media. Most of all, Martin, we just got to be careful what we buy online. As I shared on Twitter today, the many things that people have been buying online and the things that they've been getting delivered are two worlds apart. So it is going to be a year of moving targets, a year of trials, and a lot more tribulation, unfortunately. And hopefully we know that our followers have been preparing, because that's what we've been telling them all along, all in 2021. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the property sector, of course. And we're going to be looking at both the apartment market very, very closely now, and also the house, the freestanding home market as well, to see what happens there. And also we'll touch base on the construction due to the supply chain issues and everything that's going on along those lines.
Absolutely, we'll have a lot to talk about there. And just before we get into that, you were actually present and correct last Thursday. You came and spent some time with us as we held the memorial and celebration event for Jill. Thank you for turning up. Great to see you. And very interesting feedback from all over the place, actually. We have had lots of people talking about it and recognizing that asbestos is a really important thing to talk about, but also very positive feedback about the whole event. So I'm glad that you're able to make it.
Oh, look, thank you for the invitation. And it was an honor and a pleasure to be there. It was a great memorial service for Jill, for celebrating her life and what she's bestowed upon us to basically the torch that she's given us to carry forward in the great beginning of it's all happening in 2022. I was fortunate to meet some of your friends and some of the people that are going to be heading off the the foundation, which is, you've got a great bunch of people there supporting you, Martin, and taking on the picking up the baton and moving forward with it. So yeah, it was an absolute honor and a pleasure to be there with you guys.
Yeah, well, thanks. And Asbestos Awareness Australia is now fully formed and functioning, and we've had a number of contributions come into that, which is great. But also what I really find fascinating, Edwin, is I've had a lot of feedback over social media from people who were going to do DIY and they're now asking the question about, is there asbestos there first, right? And whilst that may sound a little bit of a pain when it comes to, you know, you want to get on and do stuff, the point here is, minor exposure on just one occasion can potentially create a significant medical issue, you know, down the years. And it is worth doing the checks and making sure that there is no asbestos in all its forms. It's not just sheeting, but it's also in pipes. It's also in lino. It's also in carpet. It can be in dust. It can be all over the place. It can be in roof voids, you know, all over the place. So, you know, the message has already got out. And in fact, more than 1 million people have actually interacted around this subject since we started putting it out. 1 million, that's an amazing record. So hopefully that means that less people will actually make the bad decision to go play with asbestos without understanding what they're playing with, and get it checked first. And you know, it may cost a bit more, but it doesn't then mean you don't lose your life, because frankly, dying from asbestosis or mesothelioma is a horrible way to go.
Oh, look, it is, Martin, and I think this is something a lot of people need to take a lot more care, particularly when they're buying homes. And a lot of these homes were, you know, built pre 1986. We're talking Sydney, but obviously in Australia in general, a lot of the products, as you say, the materials that have been used in the different areas, that people would not think twice about it being, contaminated with asbestos, and there are a lot of other chemicals as well. Yeah, you got your lead paints, and you've also got your arsenic. The blackjack that used to get painted on the timber flooring, many years back, in order to protect it from the vermin and the infestation of termites. And you see, and people are crawling, people are sanding these floorboards that are, absolutely, were caked with arsenic and so forth. So all these things there's got to be a lot greater awareness, taking place and mandated by the government, or the initiative should be by the state and federal governments to get the message out, because it's obviously comes at a high cost to everybody. Not just those affected, but to everybody, because of the health system and how it does cripple a lot of the health systems around Australia. You know, and on that note, Martin, it's interesting. I had a meeting with the senior Bunnings manager at a function, and it was interesting talking to her. And some of the statistics were absolutely amazing. The two main ones that I want to share tonight are, that I've shared with you is the fact that, over the period of a lifetime, the Australian DIYers or people will be spending, upwards of $125,000 in a Bunnings store. And that's not including the sausage sizzle. The sausage sizzles are extra, Martin.
Oh, okay. I thought that would have been included in that massive. I mean, some big amount of money, isn't it? If you've multiply it by the number of DIYs across the country, gee, that's a big industry.
Look, it is. It is a huge industry. Upwards of 125,000 per person. So when you start working out averages now, obviously the next one is also mind-boggling. Some of the regional Bunnings stores. I didn't get to ask about the main ones in the commercial hubs of Sydney, but I mean the regional Bunnings stores further away from Bathurst, further away from Orange. She was telling me that they were turning over pre-COVID, they were turning over $35,000 per day. Since COVID and lockdowns, that average per day spend of the communities, in the small communities in regional areas, has gone upwards of $110,000 per day. That's how much people have been spending in the last 2 days, almost three times the amount of time, doing works around their homes. And you only have, it's mind-boggling just thinking about how many people, as you and I have spoken about and you've been sharing about, and how many people actually do a little bit of due diligence and find out what sort of materials they're dealing with. And my question now is, with around the Asbestos Awareness Australia campaign, is my question is now, out of all that money that people are spending in the Bunnings store, all the DIYers are spending in the Bunnings store in their lifetime on a daily basis across Australia, and so forth. And you can imagine it's going to be a hell of a lot more in commercial areas. How much of that money goes towards, safety awareness, or how to use materials properly, or how to prepare yourself to use materials, properly. This thing that I'm carrying at the moment, this is wearing two sets of gloves, leather glove and another special glove. But accidents do happen, it was just I lost the track of what I was doing, trying to beat the rain that was meant to be coming, and just took one shortcut too many and just shredded my hand on the reinforcing wire to put around the fishpond. But this is only the surface. This, I can see this, I can treat this, I can work with this, I can get it disinfected, I can go and get a tetanus shot if I want to. But what about all the stuff that gets absorbed into your lungs when you're sanding, drilling, cutting, removing and so forth, man? It's just, it's mind-boggling to say the least.
No, absolutely. Well, one of the things we'll be doing is targeting specifically the DIY outlets and trying to get them to come on board and to take more accountability for educating the community about the risks, right? Because they do have an obligation. It seems to me a moral obligation. They make a lot of money from what they sell. But in fact, the general level of understanding and awareness, certainly from our surveys, is extremely low. And, the fact is that if you are going to be touching materials that create dust, you've got to assume that dust is going to be nasty, whether it's asbestos or not. You should be wearing the right protections. And, frankly, just one of those cheap, over-the-face masks from DIY ain't going to be enough for a lot of it, right? You've got to actually take it seriously. The other point is to think about disposal of waste materials. That's something else which is a major, major problem. We know of many examples where asbestos has just been dumped in places not disposed of safely. And I was talking the other day to somebody who's in the asbestos disposal industry, and the costs to them of disposing it safely are huge, right? And so people want to cut corners all the time and not use the authorized agencies to get rid of it, but just chuck it away, chuck it in the woods somewhere, just bury it a little bit below ground, or worse, just leave it by the side of the road and say, oh well, somebody else look after it. I mean, this is a major issue. So we'll be definitely pushing on this. And from an environmental perspective, from a health perspective, from a moral perspective, this also is part of the overall Asbestos Awareness Australia campaign.
Well, and that should be the message going out. And this is what people need to take more care and have to be more attuned to. And that is when they're buying these $2-3 million properties now in certain parts of Sydney that have, again, I say they've been built pre-1986. And you can rightfully assume that they've got asbestos. Even post-1986, some companies held off on materials. They didn't discard them. They didn't get rid of them. Just because it was banned in terms of production didn't mean that people didn't stockpile a lot of these materials and continue to use them up to the early 90s. So you got to be careful. You just got to assume that things have, a lot of these boards that were used for cladding or for sheeting contain the asbestos. So when you're in the process of buying a home, those building and pest reports, they're very limited. It's really only a visual inspection, and that's visual inspection on what they see. The inspectors don't move furniture around. They don't go beyond certain crevices that they feel that they're too big to crawl through, and it's a very limited report. So if you're going to be paying upwards of $2-3 million for these homes, you want to make sure that the sheeting used in the wet areas or internally in bedrooms, ceilings, in everywhere else around the house, yeah, it doesn't contain asbestos because it's going to cost you a hell of a lot. Now, other people we've been talking to over the last week or two, trying to make them aware of the campaign that you've launched, other friends and that, and they say, oh yeah, but it's okay. We can get professionals to come and remove it from a section of the house. I say, yeah, but hopefully you're not doing it whilst you're living in there. Hopefully you're not doing it whilst you're residing in the premises, because that stuff, when that stuff's airborne, it lingers around. It settles in places that's not going to fall off or come away until later on, and you just don't know when. So all these things people have to take more care and consider a lot more when they're buying homes this year. Not only the supply chain issues that we're going to be talking about with regards to what the Wechat chatterers have, but also because of all this rectification work that a lot of these properties need, Martin, and it is going to be a never-ending pit, a bottomless pit for a lot of people. Just because you're buying a $2-3 million home doesn't mean that it's all safe and dandy.
No, absolutely. And I want to say again, Edwin, the mythology that's put out by the industry and by the government is that you need long-term exposure over a long period of time to get mesothelioma or asbestosis. That's not what the science says. The science says that you can be exposed on one occasion. That is sufficient, potentially, to trigger those diseases, not immediately, but later in life, right? So you're playing, effectively, a game of Russian roulette if you're actually dealing with asbestos and not taking it seriously, or if you're allowing, asbestos to be removed without taking all the precautions. And as you say, it turns to dust very quickly. The other mythology is that, it's best left in situ because, as long as you don't touch it, it's not going to actually create a problem. But that's another myth, because it's rotting all the time. It has an average lifespan of about 50 years. And in fact, even asbestos that's in place and untouched is shedding dust. So you can't just ignore it. You can't just put your head in the sand and say, it's not our problem. It is your problem if it's your property. It is your problem if you're renting. And it potentially can lead to very serious health issues. Final point before I get off my rant here is that not only are we looking at old properties and old asbestos, but we're still importing the stuff despite the bans, right? New products from China still can contain asbestos, and they're not stopped at the border. So even new construction potentially still has the opportunity to expose people to asbestos. This is a major scandal. One third of properties in Australia contain asbestos. This is why we are raging so strongly on this campaign and why we're not going to stop.
Oh, look, and I hope more and more people get behind the campaign, and I know they will, and we'll keep on pumping it out and pushing it out through all our networks. And so again, it was a great time had there, and with yourself and your family and friends and the team behind the new charity that's been initiated by Jill, and all the best in 2022.
Thank you very much, Edwin. Well, let's get on to some numbers, right? So let's start off with where we are. The numbers are a bit lower than last year, right?
Yeah, look, the listing numbers for the first week of 2022 are much lower than the 2021 numbers. At the moment, I want to think that it's because of everyone's tired. Everyone wanted a holiday. Almost 2 years of this pandemic lockdowns and shutdowns and not being able to move, not being able to get around. People have just said, you know what, I'm just going to take a long holiday. So, fingers crossed that for those that are wanting to come into the market, all the stories and what we've been told ourselves, our team, extended team, and what the media have been telling us, that a lot of agents are holding on to a large number of listings that are going to come on in the typically in the second week of January, that they will come on. But if they don't come on, then we got to start thinking, is it going to be another beginning of 2021. Now, with 2021 figures, the figures didn't really move that much. Not till the tail end of spring. That's when things moved up, and then the mainstream started talking about how prices were, the market was changing, and this and that and the other. Now, with regards to these numbers, what we're going to be doing a lot closer now than even at the last quarter of 2021, is monitoring these numbers on a daily basis, because that's going to be key. I know a lot of economists have been talking about which is one of the articles that we're going to talk about later on as well, with regards to interest rates and that things are going to be slowing down. But if numbers don't rise, if numbers don't pick up, look, it could, unfortunately, it could spell more pain for the Aussie, wannabe homeowners, because it's obviously going to put a lot of the desirable places out of reach, and they're going to have to look further afield in order to enter the market, or they're going to have to compromise and perhaps look at smaller or alternate properties, such as strata lot properties, when they were looking for a house in particular areas. So we've got to keep a closer look on the numbers. The interesting part about the numbers from last year and this year is that there seems to be a lot more. We start off this week with a lot more confidence in the sale by underquoting, as I call it, sale by auction. There's a lot more confidence in people wanting to sell by auction. And again, let's see how that moves. How that moves along the months to come. But one of the things that hasn't changed a lot, although I haven't talked to a lot of agents, obviously just wishing them a happy new year and just general conversation. But, I would say it's a split at the moment of a 50-50. Some are thinking that the market's going to, really slow down. Others are still thinking the market's going to, going to stay strong. So it's a 50-50 call. But the most important part with the numbers is we've got to keep an eye on them. We know that there are, we're preparing, or the government's preparing, to open up the international borders, and I mean it's mandates and the strong hand that the state government's had on the people is basically being eased, and I think that's just a prelude to really open up the international borders, because they need the there's the big push for the big corporations, the big companies that need that slave labor, as we call it, to come in. Otherwise, they're not making as much, and they're going to obviously put a lot of pressure on the government to open those borders. Although, having said that, that's on one side of the coin. On the other side of the coin, we know that there are a lot of professionals that are waiting to come in. They're moving to Australia for different reasons, job opportunities, high in the medical field, as we've discussed, in the medical, the IT, the finance sector, where they're much needed here. They're ready to come, and they're going to come in with interest rates moving up 15 points, 50 points, 75 or even 100 points moving upward. It's not really going to matter a lot to them, because they're coming in cashed up. Last year, we went through and checked the averages from the clients that we service that came to Australia, or even mandated us to help them look for a property, whilst they were on the way, expats on the way back home, or wanting to come over, migrating over. The highest LVR was 60%, Martin. So these people are coming in cashed up. So a slight movement in interest rates isn't going to deter them from buying the freestanding homes as much as, unfortunately, the locals.
No, that's right. Well, there's a lot to play for, and it's interesting. I agree with you that sentiment is very mixed. So I have spoken to a number of people over the last two or three weeks, and there are quite a few people very, very bullish about property and talking about significant demand, migration up, etc., etc. Others are much, much more negative. So we'll see. We'll just monitor the numbers and we'll report it, right? And we'll keep talking about this each week, because it's a very important leading indicator, isn't it?
Well, it is, and unfortunately, the mainstream have lost the correlation between property prices and they're focusing. Look, it's just a general whatever stream they're on, whatever lane they're on, they just focus on the one thing. In that article that we're going to talk about later on, as you and I and Louis discussed before Christmas, when we had that live show. And it's important correlation. We need to bring it into the equation, because if the numbers don't come up, if people aren't going to be transacting, obviously, supply and demand is a key factor in economics, and people are going to be paying a lot more. You've got the cryptonians that have made a hell of a lot of money in crypto. You've got the people that are trading in shares that have made a hell of a lot of money as well, and they're transferring their asset wealth from one class to another, and property to them is something that they want to get into. So it's, yeah, we need to keep an eye on those numbers, but we'll be sharing them. I'll be tweeting them out regularly on a daily basis for all our followers. Yeah, they've got my, you share my handle, and they can follow me, and they can see the numbers. It's a screenshot we use the domain numbers because it specifies the Sydney region, but it's more specific with the Sydney region. The REA are a little bit airy-fairy about the Sydney region, and so I like to focus on those, and it's the baseline that I've been using for the last 4 years to monitor for sale listing numbers across Sydney. Unfortunately, I only do Sydney because that's the area that we focus on and we work on. I was trying to do Melbourne with somebody else, but it just got too hard, too complicated.
Well, it is a bit of work, isn't it? But anyway, we'll keep reporting, and maybe I'll see whether I can find somebody from one or two of the other areas, Brisbane, Melbourne, Perth, whatever, to see whether we can get some other numbers too, because I'll be wanting to monitor this. But talking about monitoring things, the old WeChat chatter is pretty alive at the moment. And my take from all of that, Edwin, is we're going to see more shortages.
Look, definitely, Martin. That's something that, as I shared with you earlier, with the WeChat chatterers and what's happening there. Typically, this is a very, very busy time for businesses there in China, pre the Spring Festivals, and this is when they're really pumping things out and trying to get things done, because they take a long Spring Festival time. It's their main. It's the main time to go and see families, because their families, they may work in a city, but they. These people don't get to see their families for a year at a time due to the work commitments and so forth. So they have to go out into the regional areas. But now some of these manufacturing companies and businesses basically said to people, look, you can take up to 50 days. Obviously, it's with limited pay, but they're just it's machinery down. You've got issues with the power restrictions, you've got high cost of base materials, the high cost of shipping goods. And so basically the owners of businesses manufacturing plants have just basically said to the workers, you know what, take as long as you need to, take as long as you want, up to 50, 60 days, because we're just going to go slow and wait it out and see. They're obviously have to be careful as to how they move forward as well. So what that means for us is more, we need to prepare for more shortages of materials, base materials for ourselves, as we assemble things here, whether from the medical industry right up to the construction sector, from the pharmaceutical right up to the construction. So we're going to we're going to see a lot more shortages to come in them. But I think a lot of this is going to be more evident in the second quarter of 2022.
Yeah, well, again, we'll watch that with interest. And it's interesting that Evergrande is now on hold again. I noticed on the Hong Kong Exchange tonight, ahead of yet more announcements about the fact that they've missed more payments or something. So, this broader issue with regard to Chinese property firms and what's happening is another factor to bear in mind. It's another negative drag on economic performance out of China. And that in turn is going to have a knock-on effect. So there's a lot to cover there as we go through to the new year as well. And again, we'll be reporting that here. And I think, Edwin, generally, we seem to be about 4 to 6 weeks ahead of what the mainstream media is with regard to what's going on. So your WeChat chatters are really useful.
Oh, look, they are. And let's not forget that early last year, the WeChat chatterers were telling us what they were being told in mainland China, in the publications that the mainstream don't generally get out here. And the commentators were saying prepare for famine and prepare for war. And I don't think that sentiment is changing. If anything, I think that sentiment's being intensified, and a lot of the Our WeChat chatterers over there in China are doing that, is just continue to prepare for those black swan events. And look, hopefully there isn't a major war. You know, if anything, you know, we're just going to see skirmishes. But then again, who knows, Martin? Who knows what is Russia going to move on Ukraine? Is you know, China going to move? Just you know, walk across and into you know, Taiwan? I mean, it's anybody's guess. And what are we going to do? It is 2022. It is a year of moving targets. As I said, it's going to be, you know, we got to make it good. We got to work to make it good, but unfortunately we're going to confront the bad, and you know, things may get ugly. We just got to be strong and stand through it.
The good and the bad and the ugly. Reminds me of a film. Now, let's talk just briefly about these articles then. So the first article is from the Sydney Morning Herald, and basically the question is it the end of the Sydney and Melbourne property boom? And as you said, people are saying, well, of course, you've got to look at the old interest rates and the trajectory there, but maybe we should also think about listings, as you said earlier.
Look, it is a key. It is one of the principal indicators. It was proven in 2021. And I really don't think that as I said, that sentiment is going to change. If the numbers aren't there, and because people still want to they want to change their lifestyle, because of all this uncertainty, Martin, around these mandates and you know, this Omicronicious and all these new variants, and you know, and I don't know, I think somebody told me that the Delta had an orgy with Omicron and popped out a baby or some description, I don't know, that's going to be wilder than the last one. I mean, it's, things are getting really crazy, and with all this uncertainty, people are just looking for space. You know, but then you and I spoke about this in early 2020. We said that the sands were going to shift, regional areas were going to, you know, we didn't know how crazy they were going to go up in value, but we were talking about it in early 2020 when we could see the changes, the demographic changes, it's playing out and will continue to play out whilst the governments don't have control of how we're going to move forward. You know, whilst this whole pandemic is politicized, you know, one's pulling one way, another one's pulling, you know, one political party is pulling one way, the other political party is pulling another way. One gets off on mandating this and mandating that. The other one has a power trip on not allowing this and not allowing that and all sorts of things. You know, if these politicians would stop thinking about themselves and start thinking about the general public, the constituents that basically employ them, you know, things would be a lot better. But unfortunately, we got too many egos in power and in control. We've given them control. So they tell me there's an election coming up soon, Martin.
Well, there certainly will be this year. So it's either going to be March or May, I suppose, depending on how things pan out. And in fact, Paul is already making promises, right? And we know in the MyEFO there was 16 billion of money put aside in MyEFO, but not actually described in terms of what they're going to use it for. So you can imagine that they're going to be bribing marginal constituencies and you know, throwing out more money to first-time buyers and trying to encourage them to come in. But then Albo is talking about railway lines and all sorts of things as well. So they're making promises too.
Everyone is making promises. This is the season, the next, you know, few months of promises. Look, all I can say with regards to our rent and what we're all about tonight is if the Labor Party get in, Albo gets in and he keeps his promise, my God, the Hunter is, the Central Coast is going to, you know, double in value. But he's got to keep his promise. It's not just a matter of winning the election, but it's also keeping the promise. And that is the big question. How long have we been, have the politicians been promising from all sides, the fast rail from Sydney to Canberra, from Sydney to Melbourne, from now we've got from the Central Coast, Newcastle to Sydney. So, you know, go figure. It's There's something about fast trains and kissing babies with politicians. I just can't put my finger on it.
Well, look, I made a tweet and a post earlier on today talking about some of the new legislation that came in from 1 January, right? And up in Queensland, they now have a standard dog collar for dangerous dogs, and it's quite a thick one with orange and yellow stripes. And I had this idea, maybe we should get politicians, you know, to wear the same, to remind us they often don't tell the truth, right? They make promises that they have no intention of making good on. All they're doing is trying to persuade enough people to vote for them to get into power or back into power. And maybe if we had more direct reminders of that when we, every time we saw them, we'd actually you know, handle them rather differently from the way that many people seem, frankly, just to take every word that they say as gospel truth and then believe it, remembering of course that so often those promises are just never delivered.
Yeah, that's right. But I think with one of the good things about the last 2 years is that a lot more people have become more informed because of the social networks, whether you're on Twitter, whether you're on Getter, whether you're on Facebook, whether you're on WeChat, whether you're on whatever, you know, I think a lot more people are a little bit more educated, Martin, and I'm hoping that when we do go to the polls, we make better choices. I for one have been lazy with a lot of it because I just said they're all a bunch of scallywags anyway. And they're all cut from the same cloth, basically. But you know what? Over the last 18 months, I've been paying a lot more closer attention to a lot of independents, and I think that's where a lot of the general public are also going to go is for independents that have got a closer eye on certain things that are pertinent to certain communities. And to certain areas. So it's interesting because it's not only happening here in Australia, but other parts in the world as well, where a lot of independents seem to be gaining a lot more of a voice, and are gaining a little bit more power and are able to try to persuade the governing bodies to govern properly for the betterment of the people, not just themselves or their party.
Absolutely. And it's interesting, of course, that the two major parties passed legislation to make it more difficult for independent parties and independents essentially be able to put their name on the ballot paper. They lifted the number of memberships that they needed and all sorts of other things, right? Because they are quite worried by what's happening, this fragmentation of the electorate. I have the view that we need a hung parliament. We need those two major parties to be really shaken up to realise that we're no longer just going to, bounce from one side to the other side and back again, right? That we need a different way of thinking about politics in Australia and other places too. We need people who are genuine and really focusing on the interests of their communities and the interests of ordinary Australians. So I actually think that a hung parliament, not being a bad thing at all, but a good thing, despite the fact that the two major parties, of course, neither of them want a hung parliament, and they will say anything and do anything to try and stop that from happening. But actually, I think going independent, going and looking at those other choices and options and getting to understand a bit more about those policies and what people are actually standing for is really important. We're doing a bit of that on this channel, as you know, in terms of helping people to make a different evaluation of what's going on and perhaps make better decisions. So without necessarily supporting any particular party, it's just because I want to have a debate around some of these things. But there is an opportunity later in the year through the election to really have a say. And if we use our votes smartly, we can actually end up with a different outcome than we've had over the last few years. And I think that's a really, really good thing. But as I say, remember this. People make policy statements and promises before the election, and they're almost never held to account after the election. So the point is they'll say anything, do anything, just to get elected.
Well, that's right. And one of the biggest hot potatoes, for the general public has been the affordability of as what you and I talk about on Monday nights, which is a home. Which is all about homes and accommodation, whether it be rental or whether it be ownership of a place where you can enjoy peace and have peaceful enjoyment, you know, of your dwelling, your surroundings, which is something that, like you said, all these politicians make these promises. They seem to find money to feather the nests of those that they want to persuade or sway in their direction, and we end up with football fields, we end up with golf courses, we end up with all sorts of crap that that only the elite get to use anyway, or those in you know with a lot of cash get to use anyway, and yet when it comes to you know a home, not necessarily not a property, but a home where young families, newcomers into the market can enjoy. I mean, they all run away from these conversations of affordable sustainable housing.
Absolutely. Well, you know, one of the very important platforms, I think, for and it isn't just giving more incentives to first-time buyers to be able to sort of drag them into the market, because all that does is just that put prices up. We've seen that in spades over the last 2 or 3 years. It just makes it more unreachable for more people later, and it doesn't solve anything. So there has to be a much better view forward as to how to deal with this very important issue. And, you know, unfortunately, that means that we should not expect necessarily property prices to continue to rocket away. And for those people sitting on property thinking, oh, this is easy, I get rich quick, you know, well, maybe that journey is coming to an end, because there is going to be a limit to how far prices can go, given where incomes are and given where the first-time buyer market is. So it'll be interesting to watch that. Now, let's just come on to the tip of the week. And you're, it's interesting because, you know, you've got your two pussycats. I've got my two doggies. Right? I put up a little thing the other day with the doggies singing, and you've got the two pussycats.
Well, Dusty and Evan, you know, we started thinking about what's going to be the tip of the week for basically the tip for this year, I'd say. And so we're basically saying that 2022, a year to work on what we can control, not what others are doing. And what we need to do is not to focus on what the world hasn't done for us, but focus more on what's in our control. So I think that's for us. That is what we're focusing on. That is what we're going to push for in 2022. There's no point in crying about or spitting chips about what the governments haven't done for us or what they, but rather take action for ourselves as in the things that we can control and we can change our lives. So that's what we're taking forward. Dusty, Evan, and myself, we're taking forward into 2022, and I hope that. I hope that is a tip that some of our followers can also follow and benefit from focusing on changing the things that are within their grasp. And for us, it's really stop blaming others and just get on with. It's going to be a hard year. We just got to keep on moving forward. As the old commercial, song you say, soldier on. And just move forward.
Yeah, no, soldier on indeed. But I think the another point I'd make, and it's the same sort of thought from a slightly different perspective, right, that the power of democracy is people taking local responsibility and local actions and basically making sure that their politicians aren't, you know, they know what you think. So, you know, let's not just be idle here and say, well, it's, you know, we can't influence those politicians in Canberra or wherever they are, right? The point is that if we have enough of a voice from local communities up, right, it makes a big difference. And so one of the things I keep focusing on, and I will continue to do so for asbestos awareness and also through DFA, is to get local communities and local people activated around the issues that we know are really important and those issues that, frankly, the politicians seem pretty oblivious to. So that, for me, is the other part of this, right, insofar that not only is it what you can focus on what you control, but also use the power that you actually have to be able to influence those in Canberra and those, in the other state legislators as well, to do the things that they should be doing for the greater good of Australia, not just for their own benefit. And I think that would be a very, very good New Year resolution.
Oh, look, definitely. It's not, obviously, this is being proactive. Quite simply, there are too many people, I think too many my fault. One of the things that, as I shared earlier on, was that it's only in the last 18 months that I've started to focus and take personal action as to where my vote goes to. Quite frankly, before 18 months ago, I was pretty blasé. I couldn't care less because to me, for many years, the politicians were all cut from the same cloth. So it's really only in the last 18 months that I've had to, when I go to the polls, whether it's at a local council level or a state, I take what I feel, my vote goes to the individual, the party that I feel will carry the torch in a much better manner to help my local community and the extended Australian brothers and sisters. So,
no, absolutely. Well, the democracy means exercise it, right? Exercise democracy, and there will be opportunities. The election is later in the year, and I encourage everybody to get engaged around some of these issues. I know the sun's shining, the beach is lovely, and it'd be nice to go and sit on the beach. Or I'm sure there's something really worth streaming on Netflix or wherever or whatever else to do. But actually, if you want a better Australia, there are mechanisms and things that you can do through the democratic process to help steer it in the right direction. And I'd encourage every Australian to get involved and have a say and, push for better outcomes for all Australians. Edwin, I really appreciate your time today. Great to catch up with you. First time in the new year. We'll certainly do it next Monday as well. And I hope your hand heals, and I hope the pussycats don't give you too much of a hard time as to say why you're slacking with, an injury. Just remember, there are such things as injury timeouts.
Oh, definitely. Look, it definitely is. And again, looking forward to this year, Martin. I know there are many things that are there are going to be a lot of moving targets. There's going to be a lot of things that we need to reconsider, reassess. But as we'll bring out some of the issues, hopefully ahead of the mainstream, and keep our followers, our viewers informed. And with regards to property, I try to share as much in a fun way on Twitter, so encourage people to follow me. They can find me on Twitter. I'm sure you'll share the handle. Share stuff daily, no doubt we'll be keeping a close eye on the figures and how this market evolves. This month is going to be a very, very interesting month. I think also with your field of economics, and to see how things are going to move forward. And once the announcement is comes to pass with regards to the election, I think things are going to get very, very interesting. So looking forward to it, Martin, and looking forward to hopefully we'll have some more information and more insights for next Monday's rant.
Thanks, Owen. See you later. Have a good week. Cheers. Bye.